Well, it was 8:55 in the morning, and I was really looking forward to my 9 o'clock appointment. We'd be talking about a few things that, frankly, I had wanted to address for some time. 9 o'clock rolls around, and I'm listening for the doorbell. The minutes tick by ever so slowly. You know when you're excited about something, and things don't happen right on the exact time, time goes really slow, or slowly. They ticked by ever so slowly, as they do when you're simply waiting for an appointment. So it's 9:05 now, and I'm tick, tock, tick, tock. 9:10, 9:15, now it's 9:20. And I'm talking to Colleen and our daughter Sarah, so this goes back some time now when we're still living at home. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about this 9 o'clock appointment that I've been waiting for. It's now 9:30, so I decide to pick up the phone and make a phone call. I say, hello, my name is Mark Winter, and I was just checking to make sure that Jim was okay and he would be here soon. On the other end of the phone, there's this moment of silence. Then I hear the lady who answered the phone mention to Jim in the background that she had Jim's 9 o'clock appointment on the phone. There was another pause. She comes back on the phone and she asks me what it was that I wanted done. That's right, my 9 o'clock appointment was with a remodeling company. I was to receive a visit and an estimate for some work around the house. By now, I had a couple of choices. I could say, well, don't worry about it. I'll look elsewhere. I could get upset about it. Or I could try to work with them and schedule another appointment. As it turned out, that's exactly what I decided to do. Have Jim come and see me at 5 o'clock on Monday. I took option 3. I set up the appointment for Monday at 5. After all, it's a rare company that even responds to the point that they will set up an appointment. Truly sad. Majority don't even return your calls if you leave a message on their machine. I'm going to assume I'm not the only one that's been through this experience. Now, what I didn't tell you is that this example took place 25 years ago, and sadly, it's, I think, only gotten worse since. I must say that this is something that truly bothers me. As a former business owner, I can't tell you how many times that I would simply call someone and tell them I was running a little bit late, but I was coming and I'd be there within the hour. This in and of itself seemed to win over prospective customers. It didn't take a lot, to be frank. And all too often, I was greeted pleasantly by an individual who would let me know that they appreciated the fact that I actually came out to give an estimate in the first place, as apparently that was not normal practice for too many other companies. Now, this goes back, I'm dating myself here, because before the internet, we used to have something called the Yellow Pages. And I know most of you know this, but there are plenty of young ones in here that would think, what are the Yellow Pages? And so for those that would spend money to have your name and number in the phone book, the Yellow Pages, I would think to myself, if you're not even going to bother responding when someone calls for an estimate, why are you paying for advertising to be in the Yellow Pages in the first place? How sad it is to experience something like this. After all, your name over time becomes your reputation. In choosing a subject to speak on today, I settled on the topic of our name. Specifically, what's in a name? And that's the title of today's message. What's in a name? I don't know how often we have thought about this, but God is actually quite concerned about our name, and we should be too. Having a good name is important to God, and it needs to be important to us, and it needs to be something that we teach to be important to our children. Now, what do I mean when I say we need to be concerned about our name? Well, what too many people don't seem to understand is that when people come to learn who we are, they associate good or bad, positive or negative, with our name, don't they? Think about it. You know, when you hear certain names, positive things flood into your mind. And when you hear other names, not so positive. Simply put, when people hear our name, an opinion comes to mind, and that opinion is based on the example that we have set in our lives. Fellow family members, God expects us to be making a good name for ourselves. He is expecting you and me, yes, you teens as well as the rest of us, to value His truth to the point that we want to have a good name. Now, I know we're all familiar here with our public proclamation website that's titled Life, Hope, and Truth. That's our public proclamation arm of the church. I'd like to read to you from what Mr. Kylo shared with the church back in 2012 when this website began. Quote, "When we look back on church history over the last several decades, we see the importance of such names, whether it was for magazines, radio, television, programs, or as now for a website. A name becomes familiar and memorable, and while it may not contain the name of your church, it certainly becomes an identity of who you are and what you represent to the world. Selecting the name of a gospel for gospel proclamation medium is as subjective and significant as choosing the name of your new baby. And since it is for the internet, just imagine if your baby's name had to be one of a kind, a name that no one else in the world had already chosen for their child. I think, by the way, I've actually heard a few of those names in my time. But anyway, understandably, continuing in the quote, the domain name search process has been going on for quite a while, and we had to carefully take into account a number of conceptual factors, such as how do we describe the central meaning of the gospel, and what are we striving to convey? What are two or three core words that encapsulate that essence? These words should be scripturally strong, that is, we should be able to find them or related concepts as a recurrent theme in the Bible. We also want the name itself to stimulate people's curiosity and draw them to search out the information contained on our site. In today's world, people usually reject names that smack of religious hard sell, sound pretentious or self-important, or imply, look at us. We're the only ones who have the answers. We know that God's way truly is the only right way, but sounding arrogant about it simply turns off most people. We do not want to be easily confused with other religious websites, so the name needs to be sufficiently distinct as to position us more distantly from mainstream religion. Words that rank highly in search engines are very good to have in the domain name. We experimented with literally hundreds of words and combinations of words and phrases, but the three strongest and all-encompassing concepts that rose to the top were life, hope, and truth. A quick concordance search shows that these three words have very strong scriptural support in numerous biblical contexts that explain the core concepts of the gospel message. Life speaks to the why of human existence, since it is the very purpose for which we were created. God gave us physical life with the intent of leading us to eternal life. It is at the heart of explaining the meaning of human existence. Paul clearly made the life/gospel connection in 2 Timothy 1:10 when he wrote about Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In addition, following the way of God holds promise for one's life now as well as what is to come. Life is also a very high-ranking search word on Google, and having it in our URL works to our advantage in search engine optimization strategies. Hope is obviously the good news element of the gospel, with hope, or the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of gospel, Colossians 1:5, hope has a strong appeal today for people of all ages and all cultures. A number of young people in particular told us that their generation is seeking that because of the hopelessness they see in the world today. And truth communicates authority. The word alone is a declaration and assurance to a skeptical world that truth does exist. Of course, you've heard me talking about this particular aspect quite a bit lately. Christ said that knowing the truth is the key to changing one's life. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. However, the word truth also implicitly challenges the reader, what will you do with the truth that you have been given? So understanding God's word challenges everyone to decide whether or not they will challenge their lives to conform to the truth, and that requires repenting, and that's a core element of the gospel. So with these factors and concepts in mind, we have settled on this as the domain name for our public proclamation website, Life, Hope, and Truth. Life, Hope, and Truth describes very simply the core concepts of the gospel, putting the focus on the central message of God and his word, end of quote. So, needless to say, much time was used and thought and effort was put into coming up with this name. So I ask you, is it really that important? In a word, yes. Now, how do I know? Because God shows us this in his scripture. He leads by example. He calls something exactly what it is. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 5 to begin with. Isaiah chapter 5. And here in Isaiah 5, and beginning at verse 20, we read, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." Now, I think you and I would look at this and begin to say, whoa, this really speaks directly to me now in the times that we're living in today. "Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Now, I will admit when I read this, I cannot help but think about the world in which we live today. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. I see a lot of that today. I'm assuming you do as well. Oftentimes, you and I are told something that is an absolute lie. Instead, is the exact opposite of what we are told. We human beings sometimes call something good that is evil and evil that is good, but not God. God calls good good and evil evil. He shows us through this that he wants you and me to do the same. He doesn't want us to be manipulative, but rather honest. And part of being honest is calling something exactly what it is. So name is very important to God. And since it's important to him, it must be or needs to be important to us. Let me ask you a question. What do you think comes to people's minds when they hear your name? What do you think your reputation is? What do people think when they hear your name? Do they believe, or do you believe they are thinking, well, you're kind, you're dedicated to living the way that God teaches in the Bible? Or is it possible that when someone hears your name, they associate your name with someone who gossips, who doesn't take life seriously enough, who's rude, who's selfish, who tries to be funny but actually says hurtful things? Let me be quick to point out that there is one overriding thought you and I should be focused on. I don't know if worried's the right name, worried about, but to a degree, yes, I suppose that's the right term, concerning this topic. Now, this should be very important to all of us, and that is this. What does God think when he hears our name? Are you really who you think you are? Or are you someone other than what we will all see when we get together? Again, name is very important to God. Before I go any further in the Bible, I'll share with you one more personal example. And please keep in mind that we will look at both negative and positive examples today. This just happens to be another negative example. A number of years ago, Colleen and I bought a new home where we lived before we moved to Georgia. And it was in many ways a dream home for us in that it offered us the ability to run my business from our home as opposed to paying additional rent for my office and warehouse or space that I had for gear and so on. for which, frankly, there's no return investment when you're just paying rent monthly like that. Of course, this was before I sold the business and before I was hired into the ministry full time. Now, we were naturally very excited when we found this particular home and when we found that it was affordable and it was available. And to top it off, we felt God's hand was directly involved as the sale of our previous home went through without a hitch to the buyer who put down an offer on our home inside of 3 days on the market. But here's what our experience was. Once we every time we would go back and view the house, I would find a little something else that I thought, oh, we need to mention this to when we're before we sign the papers and so on and so forth. And then there were issues that occurred after we actually got in. Keep in mind, this was a brand new house. No one had ever lived in it. Now, it had been sitting for about 6 months or so, but new house. Well, it had a leaking basement. It had water that would come up the window well because they didn't have proper drainage there. And then when you get enough water, it would come up and just dump through the window into the basement. Now, the basement was unfinished, but we had intentions of finishing the basement. So we had to have the builder come out and take care of and address that. Well, the first time we had a real hard rain, suddenly we have water coming through our fireplace. They didn't fix or do when they built the top of the fireplace correctly, and so there was a leak that brought water down the fireplace onto the inside of the house there. Over time, there were a few different issues like this that took place. The builder would no longer answer his phone when he saw my number. Since that time, we had put quite a bit of money into the home, and we did what we needed to do so that we would no longer have those problems at all. Of course, as every homeowner finds over time, there are always repair issues to deal with, and there's always regular maintenance that's needed as the homes age. But even though the builder ultimately took care of what we asked for the most part, the reality is that there were other issues we decided to handle ourselves rather than ask him. Why? Because frankly, the quality of work done in different areas was truly lacking. Now, we came to find out that he only built a few homes in his life. This was sort of a side project for him, which we did not know at the time when we bought the house. And so he was using any kind of subs he could find along the way, and there were certain things. He was more of a designer type than he was actually really a quality builder. Needless to say, when I think of this builder's name, I don't necessarily think great thoughts. He may be a fine person in many ways. However, when it comes to his building skills, those have not given him a very good name. Couple that with his lack of follow-up, and that too contributes to a specific reputation. Again, our name will clearly conjure a mental picture in people's minds, as we will see from the pages of the Bible today. Let's begin by going to the book of Deuteronomy and taking a look at what is shared in regards to our loving Supreme Father and our eternal elder brother, and see that they place great value on a name. Deuteronomy chapter 5, let's read verse 11. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now here we see that the third of God's Ten Commandments informs us in no uncertain terms that God expects us to place care and concern and honor to his name. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. He says, don't do this. In other words, treat it with reverence and respect. I think it's important we start with how God views how he should be referred and how we should view God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. And then we will focus as well on our own name. Now, when you read God's name, when you hear God's name being used, or when you talk about God, what runs through your mind? In my mind, when I hear God mentioned, I automatically think of respect, that is, the respect that I am to show him. This is something I know based on Scripture alone that God expects from me. And that is why it's so important that we do not use any form of euphemism of His name either. An obvious example would be OMG. Or in place of God, use some other words such as goodness instead of God. Simply put, God commands us against this, and He deserves better. HGTV will have shows where, you know, they fix up homes and people come in, OMG, OMG, as they're looking around in the home. So when I ask the question, is a name really that important to God? What do you think? Well, now maybe you're thinking, okay, that's how God feels about His name. But that doesn't mean our name is really that important or important to Him. Actually, that's not true at all. We'll see this in just a minute. But first, let's continue with the importance of God's name. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi here in Malachi chapter 1, let's take a look once again, this time verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Although most people today do not appreciate the name of God, the Father, or Jesus Christ, when they hear them, nor do they respond to what the Bible teaches, the truth is that a time is coming when God's name will be revered. But revered by all. It is important to Him. It needs to be important to us. This is why every one of us in here should want to be as far away as we possibly can from using any form of taking God's name in vain. This may not seem like a big deal to many people, but if it is important enough for God to place as one of His Ten Commandments, it really doesn't matter what someone else thinks, does it? What matters is we are responding to what He shows and teaches. Now let me ask this question. Does God show anywhere in the Bible that our name is valued to Him? Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10. And let's take a look at verse 7. Proverbs 10 and verse 7 says, "The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot." Now, I think this verse is very clear. Now, we're not looking at this verse and saying anything specific about name or the four-letter word name, but think about what this verse is actually telling us. Our name will say to people who we are. No two ways about that. Our name will evoke a thought by all who know us. I hope our name makes God and others think righteous. In this body of believers, we should be able to look around and think to ourselves, you know, that person really does reflect righteousness. Again, what kind of name have you made for yourself? Perhaps I should ask, what kind of name are you making for yourself? Would God consider you righteous or not so much? The reason I ask this is because something does come to mind, or to God's mind, when He hears our name. It's the name of the righteous that will be blessed, according to what we just read here. The name of the wicked that will be forgotten. So I don't want to take it lightly. You know, when you think about what we're given in the instruction about a name, I can't help but think about what we're told in Matthew 12 in verses 36 through 37. Matthew 12 verses 36 and 37 say, and I'll just quote to you, "Every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." When you think about that, that's another reminder of how much emphasis God places on both the tongue and the use of names. Again, God expects us to understand that we're not to use any form of his name in vain. And the general rule of thumb we should always use, by the way, is when in doubt, don't use it. Well, I don't know if that's would be considered something. Well, then don't use it because you want to know. Proverbs 22. Back to the point I was stressing about how God sees our name. Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Do you think it's important to God? Your name? I think we just answered the question right there. God inspired Solomon to write this. Is name really important? Absolutely. Notice the last part of the verse. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. So a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. Clearly, you don't have to be a person of character, strength, wisdom, and selflessness, to have money. You know, there's a lot of people that have money that have gotten it through very evil ways and methods. You do, however, have to exhibit certain traits in order to have a good name. So in order to have a good name, work, self-discipline, character are essential. It begins to make sense as to why God places such emphasis on the value of a name. After all, he wants to see these attributes in our lives as he knows this will help us mature and will certainly make us happy. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Now, we're turning to a number of scriptures today, but I really want to drive home the point of what I'm emphasizing. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1, the first part of this verse says, a good name is better than precious ointment. Well, how big a deal is that? To answer that question, then, we need to understand the importance of precious ointment, right? Now, reading from several commentaries, they all pointed out that ointment is used here as it was considered to be one of the most valuable commodities of the day. So today, we might say, instead of a good name is better than precious ointment, we might say a good name is better than endless stacks of gold. It was used, that is, precious ointment, lavishly at costly banquets that was peculiarly refreshing in the sultry East. Solomon is saying that a good name, that is a man or a woman of character, of godly mind and life, an individual that is of both name and reality, a person of God, is a person far wealthier than what other people might look at and say, wow, that person is wealthy. Well, you know, a lot of this comes down to what we view as important wealth as opposed to something that's less important. Again, when God hears our name, just as when we hear a name, a picture comes to mind. So he's watching to see if and who we say we are, if we are who we say we are. For example, we can't merely say we are a true Christian. We have to back that up with behavior that shows we are indeed a true Christian. I mean, I realize we can say whatever, but that obviously doesn't make it true. When we do this, we can be certain that God has a warm smile on his face when he hears our name. And this is something that has to be very important to us before we can repent, before we can be baptized, and before we can be given God's Holy Spirit. We're going to have to show through our actions that we'll follow him no matter what. Romans chapter 2. Romans 2, verse 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Let's think about what's being shared here. Paul is quoting here from Isaiah 52 and verse 5. Here, as he points out the Jews' lack of obedience caused the Gentiles to speak lightly of the God of Israel. thus contributing to God's name being blasphemed because of their disobedience. Why would anyone choose, who was actually interested in truth, coming here if they saw you and how you lived your life and said, I don't care what they teach that person's church, there's no way I'm going there? That'd be a horrible thing to have happen. When the Gentiles looked at the Jews, they saw people who did not practice what they preached. And like most people do, they judged the Jews' religion by their scandalous conduct. Well, obviously, you guys don't have it. Now, I've heard through the years, and I understand how a person gets to this. Well, if that's what the church believes, when they see certain person's behavior or comments that are shared or whatever, well, it's not that that's what the church teaches or believes, but if a person reflects that and shows that, that's how the church is then held in that person's who's listening mind, who's saying, well, look at that. I trust all of us recognize as well, if we see something that occurs within this body that we know really isn't up to the standard of God, that we don't say, well, that can't be God's church then. The truth is still the truth, always will be the truth. We're all still working to try to perfect our own lives. So what can we learn from this? Well, I hope it's obvious. By our example, we're making a bad name or a good name for ourselves, as well as the church. Now, it seems a fair statement to say that Christianity is given a bad name when people profess it but don't live it. According to what we just read, this is blaspheming the name of God. This leads to the question, how important is it that our example match our declaration? Well, I think that should be very obvious to all of us. Perhaps one way to answer this is by asking the question, how important do you think it is to God? Now, I know I've mentioned this before to others, but I feel it's worthy of repeating. There's a certain disappointment that I will admit that I had later after growing up in the church. The reality of coming to find that there were people who'd been occupying seats in the place where I've been attending as well, who really weren't living what they supposedly were professing. Now, it's not my job. It's between them and God. So I know what my job is and isn't when it comes to different judgments and so on. But there is a judgment that I must make. Am I going to follow that or am I going to follow the truth? Right? That judgment God does put on me. That was a little tough for me initially when I first grew up into adulthood to realize, wow, these, what I thought were living or saying or doing, that's really not who they are. Thankfully, that wasn't everybody, obviously, but it was people at different times. So again, how protective are you of your name? What is your name? Well, you're supposed to be a true Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. You better protect that. Let's notice another scripture in Proverbs concerning God's name. Proverbs 18, verse 10 is what we're going to take a look at. Proverbs 18 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. God's name brings about a picture of strength. He's always there for us. We know by reading in other places throughout the Bible that we can not only lean on Him at any time, but we also are encouraged to cast our burden on the Lord and He will sustain us. I'll give you that verse that tells us that. Psalm 55 verse 22. States that. The point being, God's name is one that evokes the thought of strength. Wouldn't it be awesome to know that our name evoked spiritual strength, honesty, patience, dedication, commitment, love? How about this? Do you believe people hear your name and they think consistency? I don't know. I mean, it was actually quoted in the sermonette today. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. That's the model that's been set for us. How about warm and pleasant? Boy, that person is warm and pleasant. I think that's nice and important and endearing and engaging and the kind of person that I want to be around. It's not the grump that draws me. The grump repels me. The same thing happens to you, I'm sure. What about kind and gentle? Some people are so kind. Some people they're very gentle in how they handle it. They're not compromising with what they shouldn't compromise with, but they're kind. They're gentle. They're warm. That's very endearing. That's what your name should evoke. That's what my name should evoke. Hopefully when people think about you, what comes to mind is not pretender, rude, shallow, calloused, or a host of other adjectives that are less than admirable, but frankly not all that uncommon in today's world. Yes, name is extremely important. Your parents or grandparents can work long and hard over many, many years to build a good family name. And you and or your children can shoot that down in a very short amount of time. Let's now turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. And let's take a look at verse 6. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Boy, now there's a name that conjures a beautiful picture, wouldn't you agree? Once again, the name describes who he is. Here are some examples of what comes to mind. With certain names that come to my head, I won't give the name. You wouldn't know this person anyway. This goes way back into my childhood memories and where we were living at the time. A Mrs. Blank, I'm not going to give the name, had quite the reputation for showing up late for absolutely everything. It wouldn't matter what time something started. She could be late every single time, about a half an hour. That includes church every single Sabbath. What are the odds that we would have a car accident or something that would knock us a half an hour late every single week? I think we know what those odds are. A big fat donut. Zero. I remember a blank plumbing company who came to our house to repair a connection with the sump pump we had in the basement. And they did the repair on the sump pump area only to at some point for us to end up with water in our basement again because they cut pipes too short, and eventually when the pump was going off and on, guess what happened? And of course we weren't home at first when that first happened and it came loose, and so the pump, as it would pump, supposed to pump water up out through the pipe and go outside, was doing what? Pumping water right into the basement. Blank Plumbing Company was not a company I used twice. I remember one time we were having a kitchen flooring company that came in to do flooring in our home. My wife really loved this company, and I'm being sarcastic, Sadly, this individual was just incredibly arrogant. And when they did a poor job of installing the flooring, instead of acknowledging and taking care of the problem, somehow he thought he could just schmooze and make it better, which didn't happen. This was actually a subcontractor, by the way, for Home Depot. So we were living up north, and so my wife, who's a master, by the way, at writing letters when it gets time to write letters about something, when she finally reaches that point of letter writing, that means somebody's going to get a letter that's going to be very direct. It's going to be polite, but it's going to be very direct. It's not going to be rude, but it always gets results. Next thing you know, somebody from down here in Atlanta at corporate headquarters is in our kitchen in Indiana trying to resolve this problem. But you know, the problem was we really didn't want that contractor in the home anymore. We would rather have somebody else who come and do the job properly. There's a certain name, or a certain reputation, I should say, that comes with a name. Unfortunately, none of those were good examples. I share them because I know you have the same story. The question is, how much does that impact us in terms of what we want to do with our own name and reputation? Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21 and verse 24 says, "A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name." And really, that's what I felt like we experienced with the individual that came in to do our kitchen floor. "He acts with arrogant pride." In this particular example, this person's actions screamed to those around him that you couldn't really take them seriously. He was full of himself and thus known as a scoffer. Now, I'm sure that all of us in here want to be known as something far better than that. But, of course, it has to be important enough to you before you'll invest in making a good name. I'm asking you to think about what it is that God expects of us. He expects you and me to value our family name in a way that reflects I'm willing to invest in such a way that there's no question how we will be viewed by anybody of right mind. And certainly, most importantly, by God. Let's now look at some passages showing with clarity that God meant what he said in giving the third commandment. Not that he didn't mean others, by the way, but we specifically are going to consider his name, or consider the one concerning his name at this time. Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah 12, and I'd like to read verse 4. "In that day you will say, 'Praise the Lord, call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted.'" The mere mention of his name demands honor. We are living in a world, fellow family members, that does not honor God's name. But you and I must. He is to be honored and exalted above everyone else. This is why I say what I do about the lady I mentioned a moment ago, who was notoriously late for services every single Sabbath. Fellow family members, whether we realize it or not, that is a statement to God that he is not important enough for us to even be on time. We are telling him that his name is really not that exalted in our lives. It is his commanded observance that we be together honoring and worshiping him. It's not someone else's rules, but rather that is what he commands. It was such a shame that she did not fear him or respect him enough to be on time. Let's now continue with this theme of honoring God and his name. Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Hallow means what? to make holy, to set apart, to reverence, to honor. The mere mention of his name should cause us to think and think soberly about what he has done for mankind, for us, what he means to us. We wouldn't even be here if he hadn't given us life. It is so disrespectful just to sort of blow him off, as so many people do, or never, ever think about him. Frankly, when we value this as God wants us to, we will also begin to grasp how important it is that we develop a good name as well. John chapter 3, John 3. John 3, verse 18. Jesus Christ says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The name Jesus Christ as the Father is to be respected, both, not taken lightly. In fact, it's only after we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior that we can even become a member of the family of God. Before baptism and the laying on of hands comes repentance and a sincere respect and appreciation for what Christ afforded us by sacrificing himself for each of us. Surely his name, as the Father's name, demands respect and honor. Isn't it a horrible shame and indeed a grievous sin to see Christ's name ridiculed, as is the case with those who take it in vain? We don't say OMG. We recognize that's taking God's name in vain. When we pray, we need to do our best to formulate habits that don't just involve repeating the Father's name all the time. We at least understand here in God's church that we are praying to the Father. Sometimes I don't believe that's necessarily understood in the so-called Christian world all around. But that doesn't mean we need to just continue to use the name in the sense of vainly worship, of vainly repeating, repetitious, over and over and over. Think about when you pray and you're talking to God, how you use his name. That'd be like me saying, picking a person, you know, okay, well, Jacob, thank you very much for coming in here today, Jacob, and I really appreciate that you're here. And by the way, Jacob, could you check on such and such? And if you don't mind, Jacob, we can do this and that. And oh, by the way, Jacob, would you see what I mean about vain repetition over and over? We don't want to do that with the Father either. We want to make sure we're respectful in what we're doing and saying. Fellow family members and any teens and preteens, I know you're bombarded with people around you at school who take God's name in vain. Please be sure not to do that yourself. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Now here in Philippians chapter 2, I'd like to begin reading in verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." All right, so we are to have the mind that reflects to God the Father in Jesus Christ, that we understand with the help of the Holy Spirit how we are to think and operate and so on. What mind are we to have? Well, Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. This is how God wants us thinking. Who are we? Well, absolutely nothing apart from God. "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth." Surely this reiterates what we just saw in the book of John. God does not treat names lightly, and it begins at the top with the Father and the Son. This stresses the importance of a name while at the same time pointing out that Jesus Christ's name is ahead of and before others. This is so much the case that when we go to him to speak, with him. We are told to do so on our knees. Verse 10 tells us that every knee shall bow. Now, this is not to say that we can't talk to him in other positions, but rather the vast majority of the time, as long as we are able, when we come to him, we need to do that on our knees. It shows him that we revere and respect him. Just so happens most of us have beds that are just about the right height for us to be able to kneel down. He deserves the honor and respect. He's our elder brother and our personal Savior. And again, for preteens or teens, I'm assuming that someday you too will make a commitment to become baptized, and you will appreciate as never before that Christ sacrificed his life for you. Now, as I was taking time to put this material together, particularly as I read this passage here in Philippians, I found myself thinking of the saying, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but names will never hurt me. There are two thoughts that come to my mind, really, when I think about that. Because this is something that's been on the playground forever, right? First of all, God would not call names. He doesn't take that lightly, so we shouldn't either. And secondly, if you care about your name, your reputation, name calling can and does hurt, frankly. When our name is uttered, it should evoke good thoughts. It should cause fond remembrances. It should bring about respect. You know, when we call someone Mr. or Mrs., what is that? It's a sign of respect. Now, I realize that we're currently living in a society of less and less formality. However, what God teaches needs to be our guide, not society around us. I hope that all of us that have small children in our home teach our children to say Mr. and Mrs. unless the adult has asked them to call them something else. We live in a time where people may ask you to call them by their first name, and if that's what you're asked to do, that's certainly fine. But it is and should be considered an honor to be called a Mr. or Mrs. or Miss or Ms. And I hope that we do honor those who are our seniors and those who have been placed in positions of authority and those who honor God. Again, if someone asks you to please call them by the first name, then that's their choice. The point is, a good name is one worthy of honor and respect. It's interesting how certain names evoke particular responses from most everyone who knows that person or that company. There was a company, I don't know if because it went out of business before coming down here, so I don't know if you had the company down here or not. It was called H.H. Gregg. You have that company down here at one time? It's no longer in business anymore. But they were basically an appliance and electronics store, in case you don't remember that. And their commercials would say, we have people that know their business. Now, the ironic part for me was anytime I went into that store, they never seemed to know what I was asking. But they're no longer in business. And somehow it just doesn't surprise me. Now, they probably had some business practices that weren't the best, and so that led them to the economic issues with the company. But what about other names? Do they evoke certain responses or react? Well, of course, if I say Hitler, yeah. If I say Jeffrey Epstein, yeah. The point is, our name says something, doesn't it? It's my job to make sure that the name Mark Winner doesn't have that kind of connotation with it. That has something significantly better, a whole lot better than that. 1 Thessalonians 5, and that's your job, of course, with your name as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, abstain from every form of evil. Now, I've quoted this at different times for different things. Some translations have it, avoid every appearance of evil. A person seeking to have a good name is conscious of this, aren't they? And will not tend to take it too lightly. They will appreciate what this verse shares and see it as more important than what other people, how they might view it. Oh, it's not all that important to avoid all appearance of evil. Why do you say that? Well, there's a difference in how God wants us to think, and he wants us to value name. He wants us to value his name, and he wants us to value our name. I trust we all recognize from what we've seen here today, if not before, that we each have a responsibility concerning our own name. In fact, it's very important, or certainly should be, to each of us. It should be very important to us that each of us hears our name ultimately called or read from the book of life. Is that not true? Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3. Jesus Christ says, "He who overcomes..." All right, so we're seeing here very clearly that there's something that's going to have to be done in our lives first. That is, in this case, overcome. We'll overcome what? Overcome sin. Overcome lying, stealing, cheating, etc. "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Will Christ call out your name? I believe this is important to you, or you wouldn't be here. But surely this stresses the importance of a name and the relevance of becoming what God wants us to become. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6. Let's take a look beginning in verse 9. "Beloved, we are confident, or better things concerning you. Yes, these things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises." I share this with you because this shows us that we all have a job to do. Respect and honor God and his name, while at the same time work diligently to build a good name. I will admit that I feel blessed that I have the last name Winner. For me, I like the name. I've never really complained about it. But frankly, if my example reflects something other than what God teaches, like that guy is really a loser, that's not good, right? So I need to make sure that actually the actions that I participate in my life reflect that name. That's the same for you, whatever your last name is. Revelation 11. Let's go there. Revelation 11, verse 15. "The seventh angel sounded. There were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.' The 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned.'" Verse 18 says, "The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, the time of the dead, that they shall be judged, and that you shall reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." Those who are called and sincerely repent will show that they respect the name of God and prove themselves to be true saints. Fellow family members, carrying a good name is of great importance to God. As carrying a good name in his eyes means that we're living a certain life. A life of commitment, dedication, warmth, love, joy, obedience to God and the truth of God. Think about the fruit of the Spirit as listed in Galatians 5. when we are working on developing those, going to God and asking for His help and making decisions and effort in our life to use and to practice what it is that God's given us with the help of His Holy Spirit, that reflects to God. We value our name to the point that we understand that God expects us to work on having that good name. Matthew chapter 15, let's go there. In the 15th chapter of Matthew, we're shown something concerning the importance of a name. Matthew 15. Let's begin in verse 1. Scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat bread." Now, what we see here breaking into, obviously, a story, a scenario that we can read about on a number of different occasions through the gospel accounts, as the Pharisees and the Sadducees always seem to find something to be able to cast stones and gripe about because they were very interested in tradition in particular. He answered and said to them, verse 3, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Well, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then you need not honor his mother or father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites," Jesus Christ says, "well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These men draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" God despises hypocrisy. I encourage each of you to look into your own life and really think about the topic of hypocrisy and see where you can apply it in your own life. Where am I doing things, thinking things that would in any way send a message to God that I'm getting or not getting this concept of hypocrisy? My hope is that all of us will have a deep appreciation and respect for bringing honor to our family name. And that certainly includes our family in the church, as well as our physical family. Let's be wise in how we talk to and about one another. In the church, it's important to understand that we're supposed to be representing the family of God. We of all people have quite a name to uphold. What are you personally doing about it? What will people think of Kagwa as a result of being around you? As a result of some employees, sometimes we don't care to do business with certain companies, do we? They can give their employer a bad name. I learned really quickly when I was in business, because the peak of my business were about 35 employees. And I learned very quickly that I was as good as the person I had out there working for this company or business. So I better do the best I can to hopefully select good people out there. Because the odds of somebody actually treating your business the way they would treat their own is really a very small percentage, frankly. But I've experienced that when I was a business owner. I've experienced that in dealing with other companies. There are many good examples throughout the Bible of people who had a good name. Let's think about it for a second. Abel, Noah, Abraham, Joshua, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Josiah, Esther, Jacob, many prophets later in life, the apostles, Caleb, Joshua. They certainly had good names. Let's look at one example of a man who was a bad example, but became a good one before coming to a close. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Because I think this is very encouraging to consider and read. This shows us that no matter what's happened in the past, this too can change. Acts chapter 9, beginning of verse 1. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, capital W, so of God's way, of the truth, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. All right, so his intent up to this point was what? To imprison and even kill God's elect, those who would be teaching the truth. So this suddenly a light shone on him from around heaven. He fell to the ground, verse 4, and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Well, who are you, Lord?" The Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And so the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. You can only imagine. When Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. So he was, for a period of time, blinded. And he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Verse 10 says, "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' So the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas, and one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying.'" Did you find it interesting, by the way? I need to do a study on this. I have not done this. And every once in a while, I look at this and think, I've got to make sure I break down some time and check this. But the name Straight, I just find fascinating. We live in a world that wants you to go anywhere but the right place. It certainly doesn't want you to be straight. I think I've told you the craziest story I ever had happen on my GPS. Maybe I haven't. I'll share it with you. So I was in, this is a number of years ago, we were in Myrtle Beach, and Colleen and I were doing a pre-feast site visit. And as some of you may know, a number of blocks, a few blocks away from where we were keeping the feast site there in Myrtle Beach, there was actually a gay club. And so I had put in my GPS that I needed to go to such and such a destination. As I rounded the corner and was just going past the club, it said, "Stay straight, stay straight, stay straight," 3 times. And I thought, what are the odds? It just struck me as very strange and rather amazing that it not only said it once, but 3 times. I got a little worried about myself there for a minute. Not really. Anyway, it's the craziest GPS story I've ever had. But I like what's given here, anyway. Point being, let's continue. The Lord said, "Arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul in Tarsus, for behold, he's praying." And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. And then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. When the name Saul was uttered, there was much concern. You want me to do what? Do you know this man's reputation?" Verse 15. "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So he had received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." What a change! "Then all who heard were amazed and said, 'Is this not the one who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem? And has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?' But Saul increased all the more in strength, and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. It took some time, and we won't read more here, but eventually those who were converted thought something vastly different when they heard the name Paul than what his reputation was before when they heard the name Paul or Saul. The point I would like to bring out here is that no matter what our reputation in the past, with the help of God, that too can change if it wasn't a good reputation. When someone hears our name, they need to think good things. We simply need to make that choice. If our reputation is one of being late, as I brought out in an earlier example, we can change that. We simply have to choose to make that change. Once in a great while is not a problem. Every single week, that requires a change in our thought process. But we can change that. We simply have to step up and change the behavior. And any of us can do that with the help of God's Spirit. I'll close by reading from the 12th chapter of John. Let's go there. John 12. Here in John 12, I'd like to read verses 25 and 26. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. When someone hears your name, do they see you as a servant of God? I sure hope so. When God and other people hear your name, something does come to mind. It's our job to make certain that what comes to mind is pleasing, and most importantly, pleasing to God.